Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth.
Well, here we are. We're going to do a first chapter of Titus tonight, 16 verses. This won't take long, but it's I'm just compelled by this. I may just keep going. I don't know. It may not be helping you, but it's helping me. And I don't think we can go wrong with going through the Word of God. James Blair, if James was still alive, James Blair would say, "You finally got it, preacher. You're finally doing what I tried to get you to do. Just go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the Word of God, and you don't miss nothing." He's right about that. There's a lot of things people would rather have than they like. I love revival. I love it. I is one. I mean, but there's nothing like getting right into the Word, see what it says, and then do what the Word says. That's the difference maker right there, is to do it. Let me go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to look at chapter 1 of the book of Titus. Father, I love you. Thank you for the night, for these that have come out, for the favor of my God on this place. I pray now, Lord, you would fill my mouth, guard my tongue, help me be accurate in the scripture. I have studied, prayed, meditated upon this word, Lord, and I thank you for it. It is very simplistic. It's not hard to understand. Everyone in this room is going to understand this tonight. But Father, give us hearts to receive it, and then help us, God, do it. I praise you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Now, just a little background. Paul's writing this, and it's practically the same with 1st and 2nd Timothy. Paul's writing this. 2nd Timothy was Paul's last letter. He's about to be martyred for the cause of Christ. He's writing Timothy here, Titus. Titus is in Crete. Timothy was in Ephesus. Two different churches, but very similar in what they needed to do. Now, it was the creed and the conduct that we're concerned about in 1st and 2nd Timothy and what we should do as Christians. In Titus, it's more of this. It's more the order of the church. Things were good. I mean, they were pretty good, but they could be better. He's encouraging him to do this thing. We don't know how many churches particular, but the church that Titus was over for sure. Now, he's on the Isle of Crete. Cretans were, they were some, it's going to say in this chapter, they were known to be liars. They just lied about everything. They would lie about lying. They were known from their poets of how they lied. It was a big deal to tell the biggest story, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, they were known as they weren't truthful. Sounds like the news media of America. That helps somebody. Now, he starts out right here in verse number 1 with that little bit of background laid. Remember, considering the order of this, and Paul does something here that's a little unusual. He gives a lengthy introduction to this. It's long. So listen to what he says. Paul, a servant of God. That word servant there means bond slave. In the Old Testament, remember, if you volunteered to stay with somebody as their slave, you remember what they'd do to you? Put your ear up against a pole, take an awl, knock a hole in your ear. So all the guys running around with holes in their ears means they're a bond slave to something, I don't know. But that was that's what it showed in the Old Testament. That was a sign. Paul saying, here's what I am. I'm a servant. I'm a bond slave to the Lord of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Look, no apostles today. A little quiet right there. Some of you. Look here. They had apostolic authority. You know what we have? We have the Word. The Word was being written at this time. They had apostolic authority. Paul saying, here's what I am. I'm his servant, I'm his bond slave, but I'm an apostle. of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect. Now that just simply means those that are saved, God's people. And the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Now I'm going to park right here for just a moment. Acknowledging means to be living in that or active in that of the truth, and it leads to godliness. There's no truth in ungodliness. So if this is acknowledging, this is the example of the truth, it's going to lead to godliness in the life of the Christian. There's a multitude out there today. And they like this chapter, and I'm going to use one of the verses here in just a moment. They like this because it's their license to sin. It is not their license to sin, but that's what they like to quote and use it as that. Paul's saying, here's the thing. If you're acknowledging this, if you're acknowledging the truth, it's going to be or lead to or after godliness. What is the truth? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall A plus. In hope. Now that, you know, Pat and I are going to leave tomorrow, be gone for a few days, about 8 days. Pray for us. And I hope it doesn't rain when I'm driving. And she does too. Amen. Amen. She really hopes it's not raining. But that's not the hope this is talking about. This is a confidence. This is an expectation. This is something, you know what? This is something you can know. So in hope of eternal life, I hit that this morning. Are you sure that you're saved tonight? You know, if you dropped over right now, I could preach your funeral and say, it's good to go. I'm not lying about it. If I don't know, I'm going to say, I don't know if that's good to go. Which God that cannot lie. J. Vernon McGee said he wanted to preach a message he never got to on things God cannot do. One of them would be God cannot lie. Promised before the world began. When was he slain? Before the foundation of the world. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. That's what we do here. We manifest or make clear the word of God through preaching. Now it means to herald, to blow the trumpet, sound the horn, cry aloud and spare not. It manifests the word of God in due times. When is that time? Well, Paul told us in 2 Timothy, it's instant and season, out of season. It's any time you have an opportunity to do it. But there are seasons for certain things, and you can't make everything fit into the same season. Apple trees don't bloom in December. There's a reason. Everything is a season. We have a season in our lives. I've entered into winter. I think at 60 years old, you've hit at least the last of fall. Winter's on the horizon. Say, well, that's not true. A lot of people never make it to 60. I could start naming people that was in my first grade class. And I've got reminiscing about them at the Tabor School, Tabor University. It blew up. They blew it up. And there's a whole bunch of them gone. A bunch. But in due times, we have a time, we have a season in this life through the preaching, which is committed unto me. That is committed unto me. God called me to preach. I'm as confused about it as you are, but he did. According to the commandment of God, our Savior. Now, God, the command is actually the word, the doctrine, the word of God. What did Paul say to preach? The word. To Titus. He's still on the introduction here. He's got something for Titus to do. Now, Titus, we know a little bit about him and from some other passages, but we don't know a whole lot about Titus. Mine own son, we know this, that Paul won him to the Lord after the common faith. After the common faith, you could underline that word common faith right there. That's very important. Because it doesn't matter what denomination you're a part of. because you're saved by grace through faith and that not of yourselves. That is the formula that equals salvation. There's no other equation that does that. If it's not by grace through faith and that not of yourselves, it's not salvation according to the scripture. The scripture's always right. Now, I may not understand all of it, but it's right, and my understanding is what's lacking. It's not the scripture that is short. So whatever this is, and it is a common faith. What does that mean? That means that some of the people that are in the Church of God, some of my Pentecostal brothers, some of my Methodists, all how many 42 different kind of Baptists there are, and all these things, if they have this, if they're saved by grace through faith, and that not of themselves, it is the gift of God. It is the common faith. What about them other denominations? I think a few of them may be saved too. I think a few Free Will Baptists are. Don't you? Sure. Somebody said, Cal Ray said, you believe in backsliding? He said, does your church believe in backsliding? He said, believe in backsliding. Two-thirds of them practice it. That's what Dr. Cal Ray said. He's my own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace. Boy, ain't he glad that we have those. Now that's a message in itself. That would lend it to, Dr. Thigpen would say, brethren, that lends itself to a perfect outline. Preach on grace, mercy, and peace. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Still on the introduction. Now, for this cause I left thee in Crete. This is why I left you here. Now, Paul wasn't like the Methodists today who move the pastors around, and they do that. But he was the apostle, Paul, and he had the authority to set this up. He had helped establish these churches, and he knew who fit where. And so Paul is saying, this is why I left thee in Crete. Remember, that's the liars' land, the land of liars, that thou shouldest set in order. Now, here's why he's writing the letter. That you'd set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Now, so that tells me that in every city, that it is more, wouldn't you think, that is more than one church. So obviously things weren't in order. There is an order to the church. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus helps us establish the order of the churches even today. This didn't have a date where this was no longer effect. You know, you get your milk, it says Best Buy, whatever. I'm one of these guys, smell of it. It don't smell bad. I figure it's good to go. If it's got stuff floating in it, I might chunk it. But if it's buttermilk, it never goes bad. You can just shake it up and drink it 2 years later. Don't do that. It might hurt you. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to ordain these elders in every city as I had appointed thee. It's wanting. We need this. Now, elders here is the word prebutimus. It's where we get the presbytery word. But it means this, as the name entails here, or would example, it means someone older in the faith. Someone with a little age on them. It's got some wisdom about them. A little frost on the hood. Got been in it a little while. In other words, Paul said it like this. He said, don't ordain, don't put a novice in. You get a novice in, they're gonna be too easily swayed one way or another. You need somebody that's been through a hailstorm or two. They know what to do and how to do it and when to do it. They let it roll off their back. First thing you're gonna learn as a new pastor, I'm preaching to my young guys here. First thing you're gonna learn as a new young pastor, you can't take nothing personal. Nothing. Even when they mean it for that, you will not last if you take it personal. Billy Phil said, you're the closest thing to God, and they're mad at him, really, so they can't hurt him, so they try to hurt you. I said, that's pretty good, Bill. In every city I appointed these, we need the elders. We need them. Now, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Now, I'm not going through, I've been through all of this in Timothy, but look here, if you can't keep your own house in order, you're going to have real trouble down to house of God. That's what Paul's saying right here. I'm glad we just had the one son. Lord blessed me with him. Didn't have no trouble. He was never anything but a blessing to me. If I'd have had more than one, the next one would have probably been a train wreck. Might have disqualified me from being a pastor. I don't know, but I'll never find out. I'm glad don't say grandchildren, because I don't know about that boy raising up now. Not accused of riot or unruly. In other words, you should have trained up the child in the way he should go. Now, once they're adults, you can't help what they do. They move out. For a bishop. Oh, whoa, whoa, hold on now. I thought we was talking about elders. Synonymous terms right here. One means a little aged, but this one right here is an overseer. Fulfilling the same role within the church. Now, I know young men that have pastored churches and been successful in that, but it was special of God that they could do it. He's saying the bishop now must be blameless as the steward. The steward is simply the manager. And what is it that a steward must be found? Faithful, A plus. Not self-willed. In other words, it's not Burger King. You don't have it your way. If it's outside the Word of God, then it's outside the Word of God. But if it's in the realm of the Word of God, even though you don't care much for it, put your boots on, just go on. It'll be okay. You may not care for it. You're going to learn that when you pastor also. It'll be okay. Ralph Tucker, an old preacher of yesteryear, gone on to be with the Lord, preached one message. I had Ralph come. Ralph preached one message here. I don't know if any of you remembered Ralph or not. What did he preach, Jimmy?
Keep the mind thing.
I never forgot that. That's exactly right. There's too many other, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. So, steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine. Don't drink if you're a Christian. So I thought he's talking about a bishop. I'm talking to Christians. Don't drink. Change cups. Said just have a beer every now and then. Buy a Mountain Dew. Drink you three or four of them real fast, you'll think you've drunk a beer. You'd be running around the house chasing the dog. No striker. That's not just to walk up and smash them in the mouth. That's somebody likes to argue. And not giving to filthy lucre. Don't do it for money, boys. If the bishop's doing it for money, fire him. I mean, that's just the way it is. So how would you know if they do it for, how would you know if they wanted to do it for money? Anything goes, just give me a raise. Pretty good indication right there. Are you still with me? Have I lost anybody yet? We're halfway through. But a lover of hospitality. I'll tell you something that Roger and Diane Duncan and Freddie and Patsy Savage showed Pat and I. Pat said years ago, I just started preaching. We were down at, and Freddie helped me a lot. And we were down at Freddie and Patsy's, and she said, you know, I've been watching her. And if I think she is what the very top of what a pastor's wife ought to be. If I was going to be like anybody, I'd like to be, I'd be like Patsy. And they were very hospitable to us. They were kind. Now, Freddie was bad about inviting you to preach that morning, and you didn't know it. And he said, hey, come back tonight. He's preaching tonight, too. And you're going, whoa, I didn't know it's preaching tonight, too. Well, you are. Lover of hospitality. He showed us. Roger Duncan was one of the most hospitable men I ever met. He wanted everybody else to have more than he did. That was just Roger. We got in a big way up to meeting at Brother Cal's one night, and they bought that boy that building, and people was walking up giving him money. Sister Diane sitting by Pat, she said, I hope he don't have the checkbook. We won't have a penny left. He'll write a check for everything in the bank account. That's Roger. Every time I was around him, he wanted to give me something. I've got a set of books in my office in there. Nobody wanted his books. It was the old pulpit commentaries. And everything in that book I don't go along with, but they're an excellent resource. And he had them in the back of his car down at the camp meeting, and he had been trying to give them away, and nobody wanted his books. And he said, hey, Mike, would you like to have them? I said, would I like to? I'll back up here and load them up. They weighed 200 pounds. I mean, by the time those cars squatted down, we loaded down, we're bringing the books to Crossford. They're in my office right now. I wouldn't take a war pension for them. Roger Duncan gave them to me. A lover of good men. And sober. That's not talking about not drinking like I was mentioning a while ago. Talking about being right in the mind. Just, holy, and temperate. Self-controlled. Holding fast the faith, the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. It takes some ability. We have to have the ability to do that. If we do not have the ability to do that, we don't need to consider the office of bishop. Now, I understand we don't all start out on the same plane. There is a time of growth. There is season manifest by season. So we come in a certain season. We grow by the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. We desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. And then eventually, Mike Gillick said yesterday, preaching, he said, you don't get to do something for God? Just start doing something. How hard is that to understand? But then we learn and we grow, and the doctrine is the teaching of the word. Somebody said, I don't like it. Doctrine preaching. Well, you're not preaching if you're not preaching doctrine. It's the thing taught. It's the word of God. It's God's word. You may be telling stories or fairy tales or something else, but you're not preaching. To exhort and convince the gainsayers, we've got to be able to do that. Now, not everyone is going to receive what you preach. They're not going to do it. As a matter of fact, few there be that find it. But you got to try to give it to them all. Are you with me? Anybody with me tonight? Look, you know what's wrong? I hope that we're praying this way for the peace of Jerusalem right now. But it's when I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, I'm not just praying for the Jews. No, there's Palestinians that were born in Israel, and they are Israeli by birth, but they're not Jew, they're Palestinians. And look, if they could just all get their head wrapped around Jesus, they will one day, but just not yet. But we need to pray for them. We need to pray for them, the gainsayers. We might be able to convince, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. You know anybody like that? Oh. Especially they of the circumcision, speaking to the Gentile, whose mouths must be stopped. Stop them. Now that don't mean you run up and smack them in the mouth. No striker. Even though that's speaking to the bishop, it's not what it's talking about. Here's what they do. They subvert whole houses. Now, At that time, there wasn't many churches like we see church and know unchurch and understand church. Church was done in the house. The house over here, this guy had a church. Remember Philemon? He had a church in his house. We just went through that the other night. And here he is. He's got a church in his house. As a matter of fact, my Uncle Lyle Ledbetter, before the little church that is now Cumberland Baptist, it was Cumberland Free Will when I was a boy, and we built it. And when that thing started, first we used the old Neal's Chapel Church for just a brief time, and we used Granny Popo's old house down there. We was in the house. Used a bedroom for a Sunday school room. They'd done that. It was common practice here. These people subvert. They subvert the entire houses, teaching things which they ought not. For why'd they do it? For money. For money. I'm telling you, I'm disappointed in some, and Randy and I were talking about the message our brother preached down there on Friday night. He said, it's none of my business. But now the Bible said to mark them. Paul told them in Romans to mark them. Why is that? So they won't fall victim into this, and they find themselves, look, you don't need to sow $100 to get $1,000 back. That's not biblical. Not even a little bit. And if you're watching somebody on TV and they tell you do that, just turn channels. There's somebody else on there that's preaching the truth. And some guys that I had confidence in has fallen into that foolishness, and they're saying, sow 100, get 1,000. That's not true. God loves a cheerful giver, and he loves the ones going to give it and don't want nothing back. How about that? Why? I'm giving to hospitality. I'm just going to give it to them because they need it. And God's blessed me to be able to do it. That's good preaching whether you like it or not. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, and here it is, here it is. You thought I was kidding, didn't I? The Cretans are always liars. They lie all the time. They come in, mess things up. Why? Tell lies. So we have, now let's be real careful right here. Because we come in church, somebody say, how you doing? We can hardly walk. And we say, we're just fine. Doing good. Yeah. May, is that not 100%? Is that 100% the truth? Well, really, I can hardly walk. Oh, maybe I need to pray for you. These guys just lied to be lying. I knew a man one time, and he said, my wife is such a, this is God's truth. My wife is such a liar. He said, she cannot tell the truth. He said, I saw her at Kroger's, and I said, hey, what'd you buy at Kroger's? I didn't go to Kroger's. He said, I saw you coming out the door. Didn't see me. He said, it was you. He said, I don't know what's wrong with her. She cannot tell the truth. I believe she's a Christian. They're always lying. They're evil beasts. In other words, they don't have any conscience about them. They don't care who they hurt. That's what a dog bites you, he don't care. They might care after you shoot him in the head, but when he bit you, he wasn't too worried about it. And they're slow bellies. They're gluttons. All they want to do is eat. It's good to eat. God's blessed us to be able to eat. That's a blessing of life to be able to eat. Jacob Berry sat at a table one time. We was all sitting there stuffing our face like starved hounds. And Jacob sitting there and he said, I don't know what the big deal is. And I thought, he don't. He's never had to taste salt. Nothing. Never. Just water. He drinks a little bit of water, but it's all I'm feeding to. He don't know what it is to chew a steak or eat a piece of bacon. I'm starving to death. This witness is true. This is true. Titus, listen to me, son. This is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. Get on to them about it. I mean, go in there, in the church, to the people, tell them, say, hey, here's what we need to do. We need some elders, need a bishop to oversee this thing, some elders with some wisdom to help lead this. And there never was, I knew this, but it was reminded this evening, there was never just one. They generally had more than one. Rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Now, what did Paul say about preaching the word? Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Two out of the three are kind of harsh. That's why people don't like the word of God, and they'd rather hear something else. Heaping to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Not giving heed to Jewish fables, which was a problem at this time, and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Now, right here's a verse. I told you I was going to get to it. Right here's a verse where people try to use this and they say, they take this complete out of context. And to the pure, all things are pure. And they try to run way out in left field with this and say, hey, as long as I think it's pure, it's pure. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about meats. It's talking about things you eat. Paul had already said in Timothy, all things are good if received with thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Them vegans can eat that stuff if they want to, bless the Lord. Until God calls me home and turns me into a vegetarian, I'm going to eat meat.
Amen.
Glory. Whew, I hope Cracker Barrel ain't closed and we're done. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled, and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. In other words, it don't matter for them. They're not in the family of God. They are defiled. They're nothing about. Don't matter what they eat. They're nothing pure. They ain't praying over nothing. It's not being received with thanksgiving. Nothing pure about it. Why? Because they're not pure. Boils down to that. Are we still together here? But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. Now, this is, Brother Dennis hit on this, read the scripture. I don't know if he knew this was the last verse, and Jimmy's talking about it in the prayer room. And Brother Junior is praying to die on us in there so he could go on to heaven. Why don't you get home if you don't care? I'm going to let Gina and Shannon and take care of that. And we won't have to do it here. I'll bring you back up here and do your funeral. We don't have to haul you right down there, so I don't know what you're going to do. I will, I promise, I will. You're going to outlive me, Junior. They profess that they know God. They profess it. I'm telling you, that interview that I watched, that girl going down the beach with a microphone asking people why we celebrate Easter, and nobody could answer. And she asked, I don't know how many people I watched. She was in Tampa, Florida, just walked out on the beach, took a microphone. Somebody had a camera filming her, and she was asking the question, why do we celebrate Easter? Brother Randall Goble, none of them could answer why we celebrate Easter. And they asked 20 people. I said, this is a sad state of affairs in America when you can't tell me why we're celebrating Easter. One guy said, it's just a family day. It's the day that we're supposed to get together with the family, come out on the beach, have a big time. I thought, man, we're in sad shape. I wish you'd ask them, are you a Christian? I'd have been interested to see what their response was. They profess they know God, but in works they deny. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, A+. Now watch this. Here's what they are. Being abominable. Now there's a host and a multitude. And I'm going to talk to my young people right now for just a moment. I want my kids listening. Because if time tarry, this old guy's going to get moved out of the way, and these young people's going to come up. And this gay pride thing is gaining ground every day. And if the hate crime bills pass, I won't be able to preach against this unless we're under threat of jail. That's how that works, if you don't know. But they're saying in their works they deny, but they're professing that they know him, and they are ordaining multitudes of them in mainstream denominations in America. And it's getting worse. Now, I'm not throwing rocks at nobody. I'm just going to tell you. You know what God called that? An abomination. Paul is reiterating exactly what the Lord's commandments already said when he said they profess that they know God. Oh, I know him. But in works, they deny him being abominable. That's pretty plain. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. And disobedient and unto every good work, and this is a very strong word right here, reprobate. That word means rejected. Rejected. Done. There's no conscience. And godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. And when there's no conscience, when the conscience is seared, and when the mind is turned over to rejection, there'll be no godly sorrow. There'll be no conviction there. They won't be sorry for anything. Thank God that he convicts me of my sin. And I mean, if he's not still convicting you, you need to come talk to him just a little bit. Because I'm telling you, friend, it's a wreck. He chastens those that he loves. I mean, I'm like the little kid song. He's still working on me. And I'm trying to stay out of the abominable business. Trying to follow the commands of God. Trying to lead. And when he pricks my heart with something, Brother Tommy, I'm trying to call on the Lord. The old preacher of yesteryear said I spoke harshly to my brother. My brother walked off. He said I hadn't gone far down the street and the birds weren't singing anymore. He said, I couldn't hear the birds singing. I got worried. I called upon the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm sorry that I spoke harshly to my brother. He said, I run him down on the street. I found him. I said, brother, I'm sorry that I spoke to you that way. Please forgive me. He said, and just all of a sudden, the birds started singing again. You know what that is? That's conviction. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. We need conviction. We need conviction, especially behind this desk. We need conviction in the pews. We need conviction in the workplace. We need conviction in the lives of the people of God. That's what the gainsayers see. They do not understand that. That's the thing that throws a wrench in their works. When we before them are humble, hospitable, where are you getting this idea? There's a man named Jesus that was all these things. They were mean to him, treated him bad. You know what he done? Treated him good. He was just good. He's good. He can't lie. Here's the order, Titus. Set this up. We've got a couple more chapters of this. Set this up, Titus. We're going to learn something next week. I really like chapter 2. About grace and the appearing. I'm big on that word. Here we go again. Come get the song.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.